I'm Sherry Hollenbach, and I've built 3 multi-million dollar companies before the age of 30. But didn't always start out like that. See, I started out as a girl that just wanted to make her life work. And I would get so frustrated when I knew what I needed to do, but I couldn't get myself to do it. Until one day I discovered a concept called modeling. And modeling is simple. You find somebody that has what you want, and you find out what they did, and you just do it. And see, over the last decade of my life, I've become the expert of modeling. And I've used it to make my very first $1 million. I've used it to build teams over 10,000 people in 22 countries. I've even used it to find this guy I'm obsessed about, and now we're getting married. And see, at this point in my life, I'm addicted to teaching this concept. Hence, I've already taught in 42 different states, 7 different countries. And when I come to you on a weekly basis, not as a coach, but just strictly as though you were my best friend, teaching you concepts I know for a fact will work. Welcome to the Sherry Hollenbach Podcast. Good afternoon, good morning, good night, good session we're talking here right now. And one thing I want to do, just to get out of the way, is you can hit that little button. It's okay to hit that little button that says like, or you can do some hearts there, or you can even push the share thing. It's okay, you can do that. Okay, right there, the heart. Okay, now we got that out of the way. Let me tell you this, I gotta ask you this question. My question is this. Sorry, sometimes I think I'm so funny and I'm not. But let me ask you this question. I wanna talk about for just a moment how you can go from stage 7 depression to like infinite ecstasy. Would you like to know how to do that? Would you like to know how to do that? And the reason why it's so important is because your state, your emotion you're currently in dictates the stories you tell yourself. And those stories you tell yourself dictate what strategy you decide to do. Whether you decide to take the strategy of going in your closet and sucking your thumb might be counterproductive if your goal is to go make money. Or whether your strategy is, let's go out there and go dominate and add massive value. That's a good strategy for you. But I guarantee you it was dictated based on the state you were in. But how do you get into that state if you're in stage 7 depression? That's my question. And I want to take you back for just a second. I want to take you back to a time in your life to where you were depressed. I know none of us on here ever get depressed, but let's go back to a time in your life to where you were actually, you were having a less than exciting moment in your life. Where were you at? Who were you with? What were you doing? Who are you focusing on? And while you're there, I want to ask you the questions. If you've ever had the thought of, should I be alive or should I be better off not alive? Is being alive better or being dead better? And I can say it's so easy because I actually had that question come across my mind. I say that not to get any sympathy. I don't need any sympathy. It's a waste of your emotions because I won't accept it. Because I promise you, I'm doing okay in my life right now. That was like a long time ago. Like 2 days ago. I'm just kidding. Sorry, that was not funny. Sherry, it was not funny. It was like a decade ago, but I was there. And I say that just to let you know that I'm not going to be speaking in these next 10 minutes out of a textbook. I'm speaking out of these next 10 minutes out of my personal experience. Is how I went from stage 7 depression to like ecstasy and how I learned how to turn it around. And I constantly just turn around every single time I drop. And so what the question I want to ask you is this. If you're at this point in your life to where you're feeling a lot of devastation or a lot of friction or depressed or whatever, it's because these 3 P's, and these 3 P's are not discovered by me. They were actually discovered by Dr. Martin Seligman. Dr. Martin Seligman, or however you pronounce it. But that's who it was discovered by. What the 3 P's are is if you are suffering, it's because you believe, number one, the problem is permanent. It's pervasive. And you believe it is personal too. Okay, now what does that mean? Break it down just a minute, Sherry. Okay, I'll break it down for you, just for you. What that means is, number one, is you feel like your problem is permanent. It's never going to get any better. You've tried everything out there and nothing works, so it never is going to get better. You believe it's permanent, something you're going to have to live with the rest of your entire life. Number two, pervasive. What does that word even mean? It means that you mean, if look at your dictionary. That's what I had to do the first time I read it. But what it means is it encompasses your entire life. So your problem isn't just because you had this little argument with your significant other about the car not being repaired. The problem is because that was the event, But because you guys had this argument about the car not being repaired, that reflects on your guys' relationship and how that's falling apart. And if you guys can't have a good relationship, then forget life. Like, your life is going to be over. And if your life is going to be over, that means it's going to affect your kids. And then everything's going apart. Everything's going to fall apart. So you mean that this one problem is not just this one isolated event. This one problem takes over your entire life. Sounds a little dramatic, but this is what happens whenever you're in true suffering. And the third one is you feel like it's personal. It's not the fact that if we go reference that disagreement you had with your partner about the car, it's not the way that you may have not approached it correctly. It's not the way that you potentially might have miscommunicated. That's not the problem. The problem is you. You're the screw up. You're the failure. You're the reject. You are the problem. And so if you're sitting there thinking the problem is all your fault, the problem is ruining your whole entire life, and your problem is forever permanent, no wonder you're suffering. Like, that alone, it makes me hurt right now just even thinking about it. So the question is, what do you do whenever you get there? Well, it's really, really simple. Let's do this exercise just together. Let's do it. So number one, are you ready? I'm just curious. Are you ready? This would require a pen and paper. I can wait. I'm patient. Okay, let's say you got a pen and paper. Okay, so what you got to do is, number one, is I want you to write down an event in your life, either right now, this event that gives you friction or suffering, or maybe an event you've had in your past. But write down the event. And I want you to go and write down, did you feel like, was your viewpoint on the event in the situation of suffering, if you're suffering with it still, is your viewpoint on the event, do you feel like it's personal to just you? I want you to next go and analyze, is the event, is it permanent? Do you see it as ever getting any better? Or is this just the way it is? You've exhausted all other resources, and there's no other solution to it. And number three is, do you feel like it's pervasive? Meaning this one event actually impacts your whole entire life. Write this down. Step number one is just becoming aware. If you can become aware, you're ahead of 99% of the masses out there. Feel free to put me on pause. You can put me on pause right there. Write down those three things. And once you have those all written down, now we're going to go ahead and go to step three. And step three is, I want us to go ahead and do the opposite. So I want you to go ahead and write down. Remember, because if you're in suffering, it's because you feel like it's permanent. So I want you to go ahead and write down, how is this not permanent? How is this only temporary? And you might say, Sherry, what are you talking about? Right now, I feel it's permanent. How can I just go make believe this thing? Well, do you enjoy suffering? Do you enjoy feeling how you're feeling right now? If you do stay, if you want to get out of it, then let's go through this exercise and just do some make believe stuff. 99% of the time, whenever I do this exercise, I know for a fact it's not going to get me out of suffering. I know, but I do it just to like check the box, because I teach this stuff and I can't. It's one of my inner beliefs is I can't for a second teach something if I'm not going to make myself hold that standard. So every single time when I try to flip this around, I know it's not going to work, but every single time it does work. Straight. So my question is, how could this potentially not be permanent? Maybe you can write down the phrase, this too shall pass. You know, it seems really hard right now, but it's just a temporary event. Might just be another season of your life. Like, you might be in winter right now, but you know what's coming next is right after winter. We got to have that fall, that springtime, and after springtime we got summer, and after summer we got the reaping time. Maybe this is just temporary, and how could it be temporary? Okay, number two, how could we make it isolated and just specific to that one event, not encompassing your whole entire life, but how can it be just specific to the one event, just that one event about? It's just really an argument about a car. It's not an argument about your whole entire life or jeopardizing really. It's just an argument about a car. How could you make the event just specific to one area of your life and not your whole entire area. Don't fight me on this. Just like play along and just hypothetical. And number three, do you remember? Personal. How could you make this event non-personal? Maybe it has nothing to do with you. Maybe it has nothing to do with you. Maybe it's just somebody had a really bad day. Maybe somebody was just experiencing fear. See, every human has only two basic fears, the fear of not being enough and fear of not being loved. Maybe they were just scared and reacting out. Maybe it was just these events that take place. Maybe it was these outside events. You didn't know the economy was going to do this. You didn't know all this stuff. Maybe it was these outside events. Maybe it wasn't necessarily all you. You know, maybe this event was put into your life to take you to the whole next level, to get you this understanding that other people can't have because they haven't experienced what you've experienced. Maybe you can change the meaning with it too. How could you do this? Have you done it? If you haven't done it, when's a good time right now to do it? Just rewind this a little bit and go back and do this. It takes 2 seconds. But here's what some people say. They say, Sherry, I can't do this. I'm too depressed right now to do it. And I want to tell you this. The reason why you're too depressed to do it and you're not doing it is because you're choosing to have suffering. You're choosing to be in this learned selflessness or learn helplessness. You're choosing it. Just FYI. You can be in pain. But after watching this video, you can no longer claim ignorance. So you don't know why you feel this way. You don't know why you have to suffer. You don't know why. Because the thing is, you don't have to. You can turn it around right now. And how do I know this? Because I've done this. Over and over and over. Or you might say, sure, you don't understand. You don't understand. This circumstance is a really big circumstance. And I deserve to be justified in feeling suffering. Okay, go for it. But you're choosing it. Because if all you have to do is just change those three different things, change it for it to not be personal, change it to where it's this isolated event, not your whole entire life, change it to where it's not going to be permanent, just change it, just hypothetically change it and find reasons to validate it. And watch what takes place to your suffering. And last place is if you're suffering, suffering equals focusing on yourself every single time. You're feeling depressed, you're feeling angry, you're feeling jealous, it's because you're focusing on yourself. No, Sherry, I'm focusing on my kids. I haven't been enough for my kids. You're focusing on yourself. You haven't been enough for your kids. You. And that makes you feel bad. You haven't been enough. So you're focusing on yourself, not on your kids. Because if you focus on yourself, your kids, you'd be out there doing something for your kids. But instead, you're sitting there focusing on yourself, making yourself feel bad, doing this whole blame thing, just being a victim. Because if you're blaming yourself, what type of state does it put you in? High or low state? A low state. And if you're in this low state blaming yourself, are you good for your kids? Like, can you help your kids at all in that type of state? The answer is no. You're bad for them. You're bad for you. You're bad for the whole entire outcome. So the thing is let's just change it. Change it. And how do you change it? Just by doing this exercise I just did earlier today, just a few minutes ago. Just try it. And let me tell you this, is if you're actually watching this video still, there's probably 97% of people that quit watching it because it's like, oh no, this is not good. She's talking to me, but I don't want to listen. But if you're watching this far, I want to say that you obviously are in a place to where you do want to feel better. You do want to be out of that suffering phase. And if this video did not answer every single one of your questions, just private message me and I'll give you all the resources I've used personally to get myself from the stage 7 depression over to ecstasy every single time like clockwork. So I appreciate and honor the fact that you've watched thus far. And I'd love to hear your results. See you later.